Namaste and welcome to all. Thank you so much for joining us again for our Suna Sangini podcast. This is episode 3. And today I'm joined with Asha. My name is Sweta. My pronouns are she or they. I'm usually based in Washington, D.C., United States. But right now I'm in Kathmandu, Nepal. And I'm one of the Sangini Bait organizing members. So I'm so excited. Asha, thank you so much for joining. How are you?
I'm good. Ani mote, as Sweta said, my name is Asha. Ma te Phoenix ma bossu, and I've been a part of Sangini Bait for almost 2 years now. And my preferred pronouns are she, her, hers. Looking forward to this episode.
Me too. Ani, Asha, how are things for you? And it's a special time right now, so I'm wondering if that has anything to do with what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, yes, our topic for the day. So we're coming holiday season. Hamro Nepaliharuko lagi chai dasai ra tihar chai ekdamai thulo holiday ho, ani coming out of it, I think it's a good time to kind of touch base on like what are the standard understanding of these holidays, and how does it differ from families to families? Cultural practices are different, even among families, Nepali families are different. So, more insights on the women's issue as we learn more about these challenges, women's role in society, culture, religion, how does that fit into hamro celebrations or ma, hamro practices or ma. So I think it'll be a very good conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. And aile pani, everybody's so connected on social media. And for me, at least, I'm seeing so much being shared, but I'm also seeing multiple perspectives. So I'm hoping that, we can introduce this for people that may have never heard this before, for some that celebrated, for some that celebrated differently. At the end, hopefully we'll also have a snippet of our roundtable talk with some of our other Sangini Bait members, just to reflect on what the holiday means. And we have some interesting conversations coming. So maybe I'll hand it over to you, Asha, so if you can share one of the festivals, maybe with Dasai. What is Dasai?
So I'm going on a robot mode. Aligati pulled from Wikipedia because stories are different from each family. So if I were to give you my what it is for my family, it may not be similar. So general understanding or general idea that's floating out there in the world about Dasai is that Dasmi Mandra celebrate Gorsamami, one of the major, religious festival, Amrulagi. It's celebrated in Nepal, some parts of India, and by Lhotshampa, Bhutan. And Burmese Gurkhas in Myanmar, Lipini celebrate Gorsamami. Normally about 5 days long. So I think since we follow the lunar calendar, it's a certain Dasmi Dehi, and you take Eka Dasi Samalani Bane trend. So sometimes it's shorter, but normally say 5 days of the Unsa. And basically, the story is, it's, good versus evil and good's triumph over evil celebrate Gorsamami. And variations say Kesa Bantahari. One is, Goddess Durga ko victory over Mahisasur, demon who created chaos in the land of gods. Ani arko chai victory of Ram over Ravana. So Ramle Ramayana ma Sita ko abduction pachi, the whole Ramayana ko fight and all, and then how he won the battle. So there are two different versions, but I think eutai lunar calendar ma parya bhara sangai manako ki tyo chai, those details I do not know, but those are the two different stories that kind of depict good over evil, and he celebrates it.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I'm also going to do the same thing, a very general search and reiteration of what Bihar is according to Wikipedia. After what Asha shared about Dasai, after that we have Tihar. And there's multiple names I learned. So there's Tihar, or some people call it Deepawali, I think, right? Or Deepavali, and then Yama Panchak, or I'm hearing Swanti from Newa community, but I'm not too familiar with the different names, but I just wanted to mention it. So we're, including every name that people might be familiar with. Tihar is also 5 days long. It's also celebrated by people within the Hindu community, and it's celebrated in Nepal and some Indian states where there are a lot of Nepalese communities. It was listed as Sikkim and West Bengal. It's after Dasein, so it also kind of takes place between October and November. I really like Tihar. So in this one, I know it's often associated with Diwali, so it's the festival of lights, but there are significant differences. The differences are Tihar has 5 different days, and each day celebrates a special creature or animal. So the first day is Kag Puja, or the crow, which for me, I learned that it's the messenger of death. And then the second day is Kuku Puja, which I think is becoming very popular and shared on social media as well. They're known as loyal companions for humans. Ani, they're also, I think, guardians of death, but I'm also not sure, so don't quote me on that. Ani, third sign, I saw it included cows, so they are auspicious and sacred animals. And then the fourth day, I saw there were 2 different ones. So one is for ox, they're also known for their manual labor. Tara, I think in the Newa community and maybe others, we celebrate, it coincides with Mo Puja. So that's also the day you celebrate the self or the soul within. And the final day is Bhai Tika, Bhai, which is brother, it could be older or younger, but really it marks the day where brothers and sisters celebrate the bond that they have and they celebrate one another. So this is what Wikipedia says, and I'm sure there's way more, and it's way more complex in terms of the details and all the symbolism, but this is in the amount of time we have today. That's what I wanted to highlight.
Nepal say Paiti. I don't it, again, these are so arbitrary. We could probably talk about it later, but just briefly bondahari Bhai Tika ma chai, bhai is like basically little brother, dai is the thulo brother, you know? Ani Bhai Tika is the time, it is the only, it's the first priority. So you start putting tika on the bhai and getting the blessing from the little brother first, and then go to the elder brother again. Nathra jaili pani hamro the elder goes first, and then in sentisari line lagcha ni ta thulo le sabhanda bahera tika lagcha. So that's an interesting fact, but yeah.
See, that's something I'm learning. I think Wikipedia mayor, I found this interesting. Tesmatse, they were talking about brothers and sisters and that being their special bond. Tara, just like you were saying, Mirupani of a I have an older brother, so by younger brothers or cousins or but they weren't with me. So mere experience, funny, it's been different. So thank you so much for teaching me something new. And yeah, these are some of the things that I am interested in learning from you all. Even like for you said you've been in the US, Mota, it's been different continents, but it's whatever my mom and dad remember and what they're able to mentally and physically do. So yeah, this will be really interesting. So Azakulai, at least for our listeners, we have a recording of our roundtable talk with some other Sanghini members, with some guiding questions, and hopefully we can highlight what our experiences have been and reflect on it. So I hope you enjoy. So thank you for joining us for our roundtable talk section. We'll be doing something slightly different. I'm here with two of our Sanghini Beat members, Shreya and Parithi. I'll let them introduce themselves. And then we're actually editing Asha's part afterwards. So if the sound is a little choppy, please bear with us. But I hope you enjoyed this. So, hi, Shreya. If you could go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi everyone, this is Shreya returning back on the podcast. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm currently in the greater Boston area.
And we have another member that's joining us today. And this is her first time joining. Hi, Paridhi.
So, hey, this is Paridhi. I'm based in Queens, New York, originally from Kathmandu. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I'm very excited to be here.
Yay! I'm so glad that you're here with us today. And today, actually, this is a topic that I've always been curious about. We're talking about our experiences, our recent experience, our, you know, every year, what it looks like, or maybe how it's changed. But I've always been curious about your perspective on these two holidays. So we're going to talk about Dasein and Tihar. And the most interesting part is that we're all based in different areas. This is my second time celebrating it in Nepal, which is a big deal for me. And I know you both mentioned that you're in the US. So I'm just curious, some of you might have your families with you, or you might just have your friends, but it'd be great to sort of hear from all of us what our experience has been. And especially right now, since it's during COVID, how that might have changed things. But what I'm hoping to do is just have a couple of questions I'll throw out, and then I'd love to hear from the both of you, and we can kind of have a conversation that way. So let me start with the first question, which is, how do you both celebrate Dasein and or Tihar? So why don't we start with you, Shreya?
Yeah, so I've celebrated the holiday ever since I was a young girl. Before there was like texting, email, texting and social media and everything. I think everyone would just call each other, get together at someone's house, drop in uninvited. But that's the spirit of, you know, doing Dasein Tika, is you're doing it with your elders, you're doing it with your loved ones, anyone who you really value as family. When I was younger, I always thought, oh, like, these are all my relatives, these are all the people coming to my house. And as we started to move around, and then you know, just naturally move apart from some of those people, I realized that, oh, this is a holiday that you traditionally do with your close family. Every single year, besides this past year and then last year, and then any other year where there's been like Juto, we all just get together at usually my house in New Hampshire, at my family's house. Everyone comes and brings all of their clothes. We plan our outfits. We plan kind of how we want the day to go. It's kind of like, if you're American, like a Nepali Thanksgiving for both holidays. It's always a great time to see everyone from the family, especially for Bhai Tika, because I feel like it's siblings and your cousins as well. And I just love it. It's such a great time. Everyone's such in a great mood. And as I've gotten older too, I've also realized that my parents miss doing a lot of these holidays in Nepal. So I've actually never celebrated Dasein or Tihar in Nepal. I've always celebrated it in America. So hopefully as the years go on, I can actually experience the full cultural events in the homeland. We'll see how that goes with work and everything. But it's one of my favorite holidays for sure.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I didn't realize you've never celebrated in Nepal, so that's big. But it sounds like you have your close-knit community, which is also really nice, and I think that's the main important part of it. So that's really nice to hear that you have that. You've been able to celebrate it every year, and it sounds like you have fond memories of it too. And I'm just curious. So you said that, have you always celebrated it in New Hampshire, or has it been in different areas?
It's always been in different areas. When I was a kid, it's been kind of in the larger family home. So whatever relative was close by that could host 20 people or more in their houses, it would be wherever that would be. So I've celebrated it all across the U.S.
That's so awesome. And I'm just curious, what about you, Paridhi? How has it been for you, and where have you celebrated, and how has it been?
So for the first 17 years of my life, I celebrated Dasein and Tihar in Kathmandu, and part of it in Biratnagar, because Biratnagar is Mamagar for me. And these are holidays that I really looked forward to, because it just meant that you had so many days off on your holidays, no school, and you'd be playing out with friends, seeing family, eating really good food. And the first, I would say, a big chunk of my life I spent in Chhatrapati. That's where I grew up. And I've always felt like Chhatrapati is the heart of Kathmandu. It's a very old neighborhood. It just smells different. I was very involved in like the kite competitions. So if my dad was participating, I was the one person who would like run and gather to all the kites that fell. So those memories are really special. But once I left Nepal, I did lose a sense of community and family. Kiniki college ma didn't really celebrate much. We international students got together and made food and put tikka to each other, but it was a very watered down version of dosai, and so there was a sense of loss in many ways, until I moved back to New York again and that sort of culture hit in the best way possible. My parents joined me here in New York too. My family, immediate family is here. So for the past few years, it's been sort of like how we celebrated in Nepal, getting together, eating good food, dancing, drinking, and playing tas. So all of that, I'm really happy that I can do that now.
Oh, that's so awesome. How long has your family been in New York, you said?
About 3 years now. So like, let's say past three doses, yeah.
Oh, that's really awesome. And I didn't know that you used to be a part of the kite festival. That's really awesome. Ani, was it like, I remember seeing it, but I was never really a part of it. Isn't it usually just like within the neighborhood, Mansur, it's an Afnuko Simonso, or is it somewhere organized?
Yeah, my English ma described word that it sounds like something you would do at a beach ke ta America ma kite festival. Tara khas it's like song auda ko matre ho, yeah, Kosi bato. Tara that was a huge thing where I was from in my neighborhood. And I think pahila to every neighborhood ma people went up to their rooftops ani udaunthyo changa, like ekdam hunchha ni, it was so major. Tara pachi pachi ali ghattai gayo thyo when I remember as I got older.
Because like me and my family, we've been abroad, like I was born abroad as well. So harik barsa we would try to come back to Nepal. And the one dasai and tihar I was there for, I remember seeing all the kites. Because there were all these invisible strings and then you have to like make sure you're not getting cut by it. Ani urana laipani, it was so hard. Like there was like two or three people that had to like make sure it like lift it off right. This obviously it's so nice kind of seeing that, and I wished I was a part of that more. But so that sounds like a lot of fun.
Mere experience say, well, I came to United States when I was 17-18 years old, and I've been here for majority of my adult life. And any Nepal ko experience was a little bit different, not a little bit, actually quite different than what I experienced here in United States student bhayeko. So I wasn't like, I didn't have family or community like Paridhi and Sweta do, so it was different for us because we were mostly celebrating with friends. Ani it was a simple momo party garyo athwa huncha ni just playing cards, and those would be our like celebrations, if you will, for dasai and tihar. कहिले काहीँ चाहिँ तिहारमा अलिकति सेलिब्रेट गरे जस्तो हुन्थ्यो, लाइक इफ भाइहरू भयो भने चाहिँ भाइटिका लाउने भने विल ट्राई टु काइन्ड अफ रिमेम्बर एन्ड फलो वाट वी हेड डन ब्याक होम. बट इट वाज नेभर लाइक अ कन्सिस्टेन्ट थिङ, इट वाज अलवेज लाइक अ वान अफ हुन्थ्यो. सो बट द्याट वाज माई एक्सपिरियन्स मोस्ट रिसेन्टली भनौँ न, अन्टिल फ्यु इयर्स अगो. But then I got married, I became somebody's wife, and then I have in-laws, and त्यो भएपछि चाहिँ dynamics अलिकति change भयो. It's obviously more celebrations now than it used to be back when I was single and a student and in that phase. तर यहाँ community slowly building, अनि त्यही हिसाबको लाइक different पनि भइरहेछ, different kind of expectations in a way, different kind of challenges. Alikati pani. We live, you know, I'm recorded, so we live here. No, but American, they bossy boys, I can't say. Their parents are still, like, you know, in both boats. They travel and they visit and they go back. expectations, but like when I was by myself, single, I didn't used to bar my periods and all that stuff, and I didn't really need to hide it with anybody either. Now it's a don't ask, don't tell wala policy. when I kind of brought this up, you know, with my in-law, and like the response was, well, you don't want to put the burden on somebody else to decide for you what you want to do, so it's better if you don't want to tell anybody, you can put tika and whatever. If you tell it, then you know you may not be you know welcome to tika and all that stuff. And it was kind of interesting for me. I honestly felt like the US military, my don't ask, don't tell, while I apologize to people.
In a way, it kind of gives you a choice, you know. Ulta ta malai, you know, bachai dekhi they would tell me, you know, is to bhayo bhane garna paudaina, so timro jutho paryo bhane garna paudaina, like those were some of the things that were told to me, and I knew ani feri sab it felt like there was like a heavy pressure on myself, like maile bhanena bhane lagyo tyo ta marcha jasto lagyo,
like it's you know? A sin, no? I bear all the sins of everybody when I was there.
And it's interesting that you said about timle bhanyo bhane then aur like you're sort of passing that guilt to somebody else.
Yeah.
So it's like, who's going
to... I think it's very embedded in our traditions, or sanskar bhancha ni hami haina sabai kura ma chai. It's always that guilt, and like we follow religion, tradition or sabai bhancha, tara we fail to see so much of it is based on patriarchal system ke huncha ni. And male, female alike, we keep saying these are traditions and these are sanskar and practices that have gone on for eons. But we fail to question, like, ke values ma based tha to yo? Like, does it discriminate one gender against other one? I mean, we fail to question it many times. Okay? But that comes into my head and I'm like very uncomfortable.
My question to you is, what kind of fast games do you play? And then what are your memorable foods?
We always have siroti, mithai, khasi, gundruk, alutama. I mean, this isn't a traditional dase food, but I really like bara, which is like a newari, like a dal pancake, right? My mom also makes a bunch of American food as well. It's kind of just a Nepali Thanksgiving fusion. On the nights when it's cold, because we live in New Hampshire, we usually have momo nights. It's a great time for everyone to have days off and have family over, so any meal that requires an assembly line worth of individuals is always made, and momo is one of them. Khasi, torkari, there's just so much food. Kheer sometimes if everyone's in the mood, and what's interesting is no one in my family, only our extended relatives do. Like, a lot of our family members' spouses play tas, and then they kind of just like get in on it. What we do is mostly just singing, dancing, and hanging out and like talking or watching movies. It's more of a bonding time. And then one of the relatives will like suggest to play tas, and they'll just be like in a little circle while everyone else kind of just dances and plays games and hangs out.
So I was thinking of just reflecting, kinaki Nepal ma huda khere chai, I used to eat meat, and then I moved to the US, and you know, I've been vegetarian for 8 years now. So it's sort of like a split. Everything surrounded around khasiko masu. Like, I remember this. Even like paku, even other kinds of like sekwa, it was mostly like meat centric. And people in my family love meat. Maybe that's very common, like Nepalma. So I remember like liking that a lot. aile chai paneer has sort of taken over at least mero life ma chai ani so my mom just makes paneer ko different versions of like whatever I can enjoy, which is really really nice of her. Something else that was huge dasai tihar ma was pan hamro ghar ma. So after every meal, either like sada pan or meetha pan is a thing, and I think that's definitely borrowed from my mother's side ko family Biratnagar ma. Like you just go to, you know, dasai ma chai people just invite you over ni ta to have dinners. So one family will host and then another family will host, and every time dinner ended, we would take a rickshaw and go to a pan shop and buy pan for everyone. So that's a really good memory that I have. Tihar ma chai, yeah, I think very similar to what Shreya said, you sale ani alu ko achar, things like that.
I'm curious about your interpretation of the holidays, but what do these holidays mean to you? What do they personally mean to you?
I think definitely gatherings. I'm a wee bit of an introvert myself. Tara pani dasai tihar ma chai huncha ni like I actually do love the tradition of doing Nau Durga ko puja. You know, 9 days of that's like the battle, you know, stories go that Durga ra Mahishasur ko fight chai ni 9 days ma, ani 10th day dasai ko din ma chai she slayed the demon, if you will, haina. Ani Nau Durga, so we basically do puja for each roop of Durga ki, and I really look forward to that because you know, in one of them she's like an educator, the other she's you know, she's fierce Kali ko roop huncha. Ani there's so many versions of a woman, and I like that. In a sense that, and so I get to do puja, I get to learn more about, you know, what each form means and all that. So I guess in that sense, and this too has been a recent progression, I should say and clarify. Growing up, it was mostly about food and tika dasama tika laar paisa paincha bhanthyo haina Nepal ma, ani that was more of a thing that I looked forward to. तिहारमा पनि त्यस्तै हुन्थ्यो होइन, मिठाई खान पाइन्छ अनि दियो बाल्ने रङ्गोली बनाउने, दोज वर द मोर फन पार्ट्स. बट आई डिड नट लुक फरवर्ड टु क्लिनिङ द एन्टायर हाउस एभ्री तिहार, होइन पुरै सफा गरेर लाइक इट्स गुड, बट एट द सेम टाइम यु नो आई डिडन्ट लाइक बिङ द ओन्ली पर्सन डुइङ द सफाई. सो द्याट वाज माई पार्ट अफ इट, एन्ड एभ्रीबडी लाइक सम अदर्स वुड डु. Like dasaimai pani khana pakaune kaam chai you know mummy didi harko hunthyo, and my job would be to do dishes, and that would be like and you know like winter huncha feri and all that, not didn't have a running hot water to kind of go that route either. Maybe I'm getting too much into my own personal experience, but
looking good. That's exactly what we're here for, right?
I looked forward to food, definitely, you know, ani task khelne was like definitely a more of a fun which we didn't get to do throughout the year, so something like that, you know, food mithai haru and meeting you know people that you haven't met in an entire year huncha ni khoji khoji bhaye pani afanta ka gainthyo dasai ma chai, because that was the only time you would huncha ni by tradition like you should go bhanera, but otherwise you know there may be no connections throughout the year. Tara pani once a year say la we are here, you know, we still family bhane hisabde going to, so that was fun. I guess
these holidays, to me it's directly connected to my sense of family and community. It's about getting together with the people I love to celebrate life and to celebrate our relationships. And sometimes, regardless of if we get along or not, especially with extended family, because throughout the year, even if you know you don't have connecting points or you haven't had conversations, etc., these holidays bring you together, especially when you're in Nepal. For me, in my case, when I was in Nepal, I would see all of the family members that I cared for in one house, and you know, it's like a big get together. So that's what it truly means. And on a personal, like just individual end, say it also sort of feels like a time of relaxation and reflection. It just naturally comes to me. I feel way more relaxed, maybe because it's the smell, familiar smell of food, the food that's cooked around that time, the flowers and sunny, all of that, very calming. Yeah.
Building off of the senses, my mom always puts on like the Dasa or Tiar music, or the, what's, I think, or I forget what it's called. I think it's called the Mangal Dun or something. And it's just so calming every single year hearing it, because, well, our grandmother lives with us in the morning, but they never listen to like this type of Dasa music. It's only played whenever we have people over or we're doing tika. And it's so calming to just do all of the rituals and tika to that music for some reason to me. I agree with a lot with what Bharati said, so I don't, at the sake of repetition, one thing that I did notice, Bharati said that it's a time of relaxation and reflection and kind of time off. In America, I've always celebrated it and never taken time off for it and never had school holidays dedicated to celebrating it. So I think in the future, and even now, I'm seeing a lot with individuals talking about Diwali, and it's obviously like the same holiday for us, but we call it a different name. People are taking days off, and a lot of companies and workplaces are allowing individuals to have those religious holidays off for the same amount of time that you would have it in your country. So moving forward, I kind of hope to see that change, because, you know, our Dasa Tika and Bhai Tika is done at an auspicious time. And I remember as a kid in elementary school, high school, middle school, everyone would take like a sick day instead to skip school and do our ceremonies and Dasa and Tiar. But I always felt guilty about missing school and lying that I was sick to actually do something that I should be able to do without making an excuse for it. So I kind of hope that that added relaxation and time off and reflection is embedded in the systems that we have to uphold while we're living in another country that's not Nepal.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm wondering, you know, for people that may be in transition or, you know, setting themselves up in a different place that may not be Nepal, there's definitely something that I felt ever since I was a kid, and it was this, that loss of communal experience, especially everything that you were saying, Paridhi, the fact that, you know, there are days and weeks where everything is closed and it's all targeted around this, these auspicious holidays. So everyone's sort of preparing and celebrating and resting and kind of doing the same thing and celebrating each other. But, you know, being outside, you know, as a family, or as a family, you have to make time for it. And I realized, at least for my parents, a lot of what I learned was that through them. So them, two individuals in a completely different country, trying to find the ingredients they need, trying to get the food, the decoration, and they're doing it all on their own and trying to explain it to me and my brother. So, and we're the only family doing this. So there's almost the sense of loss that I have, but I'm sort of gaining back. And to what you were saying, Shreya, a lot of people that don't have these holidays have to make a choice of, you know, strategically taking sick leave or certain compensation days. And you're still kind of making that choice of, okay, am I going to celebrate it here with the community members that I've made, or am I going to travel back? And so it's just interesting for me to hear how people have been managing this. As an individual, I'm also trying to figure out how to do it. And I'm so glad that, you know, I was able to come back to Nepal, and I purposely had made this decision. I wanted to do this even before COVID hit. This was, you know, 2 years ago. I knew that I could take leave. And in my mind, I remember setting that intention, thinking, no matter what, I'm going to make it to Nepal and be with my parents, because I want to celebrate this with them. So it's just interesting hearing how, you know, everyone's kind of evolving with it, but making what they can with it. And it's exciting to hear what you said, Shreya, and I hope that change happens, because I'd love to see that become more accessible, at least in the US or for certain states where people are. And as a family, you just want to spend some time with each other without feeling guilty. But yeah, thanks for both of you for sharing what it means to you. And before we go to the next question, I wanted to kind of leave it open and see if there's anything else that kind of popped up for either of you from what I shared or from hearing from one another.
Yeah, I wanted to share something that it only came to me after you, both of you, shared how that experience is different in terms of like taking a break with the holidays. I never really thought of that, even in the US, because I naturally built my vacations around the holidays, almost like subconsciously I took time off, knowing like every year and at start of the year, as soon as I know the dates for Dosai Tihar.
Oh no, we lost you.
Your sound.
I'm back. I'll start. So something I was reflecting on was that, you know, how I naturally build time off around the holidays in the US. So at the beginning of the year, I'll mark off the dates when, like, main Tika day and Lakshmi Puja, Bhai Tika. So I'll, you know, do it sort of subconsciously. Didn't even think about that. So it's really interesting just reflecting on what that experience might have been if that's something I grew up with. And I was like, damn, like, that must have been so hard, like taking sick days off, or, you know, like Shreya said.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, this is a question to the both of you, and this is a random question because as we were talking, it came up. But do you think that decision for you to take sick leave or to build up your leave days for the holidays was easy because you knew, you know, that you would have your community to celebrate with? Do you think it would be different if you, you know, didn't have your community with you? Or, like, I guess I'm still trying to formulate that question, but do you think that your decision to make it, to take those leave, it was kind of influenced by your own peers, by your community members, or it wasn't something that you had to second guess or kind of weigh against one another? Let me know if that question doesn't make sense.
I think I'm kind of getting a little bit of what you're saying. Like, you're kind of saying, was the decision to take time off and kind of lie about why you're taking time off easy because you wanted to, or was it easy because you were kind of forced to? Is that correct?
Kind of, because it sounds like both of you had a strong community that was already established. So even though you had maybe some guilt that came with it, or, you know, it sort of made sense to you why you were doing it, and it didn't feel wrong, or it didn't feel like you were going against something. It was sort of like, this means a lot to me, this is to be with my community. Was it as clear as that?
So that's interesting, because as a kid I would always feel shame and guilt for taking like a sick day when I wasn't actually sick, to celebrate the holiday or to leave school early for puja or something, because I didn't understand why that was so important to do it at a certain time. My thought process was always like, hey, I get out of school at 2 or 3, why can't we just do it when we come home? Why does it have to be at a certain time? So one year I remember in high school, my ACT exam for college was during the auspicious time of Bhai Tika, and my parents were pretty upset that I had scheduled it at that time, but I had no way of knowing that the time to do Tika was during my ACT exam. So that was I felt a little guilt and shame for doing that, but that was out of my control. As I got older, as I got into college, my college would give holidays for some religious observances, some Jewish holidays. I even had a Jewish professor who was out for a week because he was celebrating one of his holidays. And then I started to realize, like, hey, everyone who's an adult doesn't really care why you take time off, what it's really for. They kind of just understand that everyone is human. They have their own needs, they have their own celebrations, their own problems. You kind of just take it off and you don't have to explain why you're doing it. That lessened a lot of the guilt. So I can imagine that maybe other kids who are my age and experiencing a lot of that guilt with taking the time off for not understanding the reason of why you're doing it is ingrained because there isn't time allocated for it, and also it's not communicated to them that that's okay.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Wow.
And that's so important that what you just said, like, you can take leave or you can take a day off, and we're human and we don't need to explain. But that was never the impression I had, especially entering the US as a student. I felt like I had to justify everything, especially if it didn't fit with the said calendar, the said holidays, the established way of things. And there was sort of this inherent need to justify myself and then on top of that, if it isn't something that I practice or fully understand, and if that reason for me taking that leave isn't very clear, then, you know, all these feelings sort of built up. So that's sort of why I was asking this question, just to see if either of you felt the same.
Everything you shared about the guilt of taking time off is so new to me, because growing up in Nepal, it was almost deeply ingrained in me that Dasai and Tihar were my holidays, my time off. And even when I got homework, you know, school would give you homework to do during Dasai and Tihar so that you wouldn't lose your whatever. I used to get so pissed. I felt like they were encroaching on my holiday. And so there was this real sense of, I belong to this community affair. I need time to connect with my family and friends, and I need time to eat and play and all of that, that it would actually make me pretty upset that I had to make time for like schoolwork. And so I didn't realize that until you shared how you felt. And also when I moved to the US, I didn't have anybody to look up to in terms of, when I say anyone, it's more community leaders in terms, and I am considering parents, teachers, everybody who also sort of led by example in they would take time off from their work and they would celebrate and encourage that sort of attitude. So that was completely missing in the US, obviously, because the community was missing. And I think that's probably what led to me not being able to celebrate, because I didn't know how to without the community. And that's something I have never reflected on.
Such a good point, because if you think about immigrants coming, like, I don't know if you experienced this, Paridhi or Swetha, you guys came here and then you probably didn't know much about American holidays or never celebrated, but you had so much time off for it. Like, what did you guys even do during that time? And if you switch it around, right? If they can take a week off for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, and like, I don't know about your work too, but in a professional setting, no one really works the week of Thanksgiving or up to Christmas or New Year, because it's kind of an unheard, unsaid thing that no one's really in the office anyway and you're just casually working. But if that time off can be taken and we can learn new holidays, then people in the country that we live in should be able to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a freaking Diwali episode on The Office that everyone talks about. Everyone watches The Office. Everyone knows that episode. And it was mocked in a way that was funny, satirical, but I don't even remember if the true meaning of the holiday was expressed, right?
Yeah. And, you know, that's why I think I was trying to ask whatever the question I was trying to ask, because I think I'm trying to capture the experience I had, but I just didn't know how to put it. It's sort of like I came to the US to study. I had one maternal uncle who was maybe an hour drive away. Aside from him, you know, my main immediate family, my extended family members aren't in the US. So, and I've been abroad ever since I was a kid. So it's not like Christmas and New Year's and all the more of the Christian holidays I was aware of. I knew the meaning. I never really celebrated it, but I, in my head, knew there would be time off. And I've always had this gap of time off doesn't necessarily mean celebrating what that time is there for. And my community isn't free when I have that time off. So I've always had this gap, or this, we're sort of missing each other. So when I came to the US, I got to celebrate More Diwali, because in college we had like cultural organizations, cultural groups, which I was a part of, and that's where I really learned through other students what Eid meant, what Diwali meant, and we kind of merged it together. We had a budget, so I kind of learned about community and holidays and coming together and what this might mean in different countries in South Asia. But then it was also us just trying to reconnect with our culture and with our country, with our people, with each other, and also all of us just being homesick. But then when I started working is when I felt this like internal dilemma of, okay, you know, I can actually choose when to take my leave. Every year I have a certain amount of days I should be using, otherwise it won't be rolled over. And I had this kind of conflict where, okay, does that mean I take those days off during the holidays and then go back home to Nepal where my parents are? Or do I not try to hang on to that and try to take leave to create new experiences and new community members and networks? Like, for example, when it's Thanksgiving, I had a certain friends I would go to their home. They would invite me in and kind of include me in their traditions. But then when I started working, it sort of, I had this big gap and blank space of me creating my own traditions. But then how much of it do I want to bring from my own Nepali culture? But then I don't fully understand. And I would be the only one explaining it to my friends. So there is this huge exploration and reflection of what do these holidays really mean to me? And if it's about family, then does it have to be around those holidays? Can I just make time to see family? So it's sort of this, like, I had to make a lot of choices and I had to do a lot of trial and errors to finally reach to this year saying, no, I'm going to go in the same Tihar time and be with my family, because in their mind, this is when you spend time with family, and that's hopefully going to be the time I get the quality time I'm seeking. So there had to be a lot of trial and errors for me. But for me, it was a lack of that community and me trying to bridge the friends I have, the family I have, and then it's constantly making a choice every year. So it comes back to choice and why I'm doing it. But that's my experience in a very long way of saying it. But what about you?
I wanted to touch on you know, the idea of Thanksgiving, Christmas, the other, you know, holidays in the US that you sort of just come across in year one of you being an international student, for example. In my experience, and I saw this within my international friend community too, there was a lot of anxiety when people would just shut down the university during holidays. And there's almost this expectation that you have some place to go to. Year one, I was so confused. I was like, so where do I go during these holidays? That was question one. And also, I didn't grow up around, you know, Charlie Brown, things like that. So people would gather international students and they would make us watch Charlie Brown around Thanksgiving. And I just didn't understand what was going on. I'd be like, this is like, I don't get it. I had to slowly assimilate and then I got it. But your one was like mad confusing in terms of US holidays. And like juxtapose that against your own holidays where you're really not understanding what to do. So it's like to me, it was a very confusing time.
Yeah, you just brought back a memory where, yeah, universities would be closed because the people that work there, staff members, also want to celebrate with their family. So that's interesting to hear that they even had an activity for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what they had for us. I know that students could stay on campus. And maybe there were some on campus, I guess, paid jobs you could do, like kind of do the janitor jobs, like go around the rooms and clean. So I know some international students that did that to sort of earn money, but then also just be able to stay. For others, it was really just other students. Most of the times it's domestic students, so students that are US citizen that either have a kind heart and you're close enough that will open up their homes and you get to go back with them to celebrate, at least for Thanksgiving. But I know for others, it's either a time to do an internship or work, or if you are privileged enough, then you buy a ticket and go somewhere if you have family members nearby. But those were the experiences.
Yeah.
Which is quite bizarre. But, you know, formed us. But I think that's where I built a lot of my close friendships too. So the ones that I realized that understand and are open to building new relationships around these times. And I think that's where a sense of community for me was built. So I have, you know, a handful of close friends that were there for me during that time. And I have a lot of fond memories, and they're kind of like my chosen family now. Yeah. So in a way, like, Thanksgiving for me is Friendsgiving. It's just a chance for us to just do a big potluck and cook the food we want. So I look forward to Thanksgiving. Christmas and New Year's, I still don't know what to do with that.
I can relate to that. I think eventually, you're right. Like, I think the friends that I made really helped me gather a sense of community around Thanksgiving and Christmas. And also just other, you know, like professors you meet, other family that you make as you get older. You're right. Now it feels, now at this point in my life, it's once you hit October, I feel like all my holidays start. And I can almost, yeah, you know, I feel like I do, I look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas and Dasa and Tihar. So I feel like October starts and the year is gone.
That's, yeah, so that's true.
A good point. The other question I had in mind was, you know, has your relationship with either of these holidays changed or evolved?
It has definitely changed the way I celebrate it. I think it's just, I'm not in the right space currently when it comes to Dasa and Tihar. That's a feeling that is always there. I'm far from my roots, so it will never be the same. Bonnize, it's always there. In many ways I am almost trying to create that environment around me in the US, but it's just a sort of an image of it and not in the truest form, because without the community and the friends and the family and the food, the smell and all of it, all of Kathmandu, which is where my memory is strongest, I always feel that something is missing. So the sense of homesickness, sense of loss, I think it's just, that's what has grown over the years, just the part that I'm missing out. But in many ways, I've also learned how to sort of lead and create, you know, however I can celebrate these things around. Like, it's almost like you take what you had and then you take what you learned from it and you try to create a life out of it here. So it's like it helps you when you're adulting. I feel like, wow, I now can also do these things that my parents would do or my community members would do back in Nepal. And sometimes I rely on phone calls or YouTube videos to cook or even to celebrate, you know, make rangolis. And then even Bhai Tika, like this year, I tried to do everything without my mom stepping in because I want to make sure I can do that fully at this point. And so next year, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to get, like, you know, do it without my mom's help. So it's really pushing those boundaries and taking more ownership of how you celebrate. So that's been the evolution part of it, but there's always loss, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
That's interesting because, I will have to drop after this. I have a meeting, but I'll answer this last question. So I think that's interesting because Paridhi is mentioning that she's not in the right environment to celebrate it. And I never realized until I got older that I should, the way that I could celebrate this holiday in Nepal is 10 times more amplified than how we celebrate it here. Like, I'd actually get, like I mentioned prior, the true experience of the holiday, the spirit, the preparation, what goes into decorating, seeing all these extended family members going on swings, having kite festivals, etc. So for me, it's a little bit opposite. It's that realization that the way that I could be celebrating this with my family and how my family, like both my parents and my grandparents celebrated, is very different to the experience that we have here. And although like we've created something good, it's not the best experience for them. So this could very much be a watered down version of how to celebrate Dulce and Tian. But it's the little things that make them happy too. Like when the sil roti comes out really nicely, when the puja is done well, when people flood into homes and we all are just amongst the presence of each other. I think that's what makes the holiday really nice for how we celebrate it here. Something that's changed about my perception of celebrating it as I've gotten older is just, one, not really telling anyone and caring if I'm on my period or not. You know, you just gotta celebrate it, and I'm not gonna wait every single year and let something that happens to me every month stop me from celebrating the festival. No one's gonna check, who cares? And secondly is I really don't like the notion of how we grieve in our culture, and it prevents us from doing things that make us happy, like celebrating holidays. I mean, I understand that there's that respectful aspect of pushing someone into the afterlife in the way that we do it, in the ritualistic aspect of how we mourn. But just because someone has passed doesn't mean you shouldn't have to not celebrate one of your favorite holidays, or have celebrations for that matter, right? Have fun or participate in Nepali events or anything because someone has passed. And that could be a political or conservative type of standpoint, but I think it's something that a lot of people in our generation hopefully share, is that I would hope that if I, God forbid, you know, pass, or if someone in my family passes, that they would want me to continue to live my life happily and celebrate the way that I was when they were there. So it's just something that I realized is that as I've gotten older, you know, more people reach that age of getting sick, feeling unwell, and any person, even close or extended, affects that chain of living life the way that we once were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting point because, you know, as I was listening to the both of you talk about what these holidays mean, a lot of it came back to community, feeling a sense of connectedness and like collective care. And like for me, when I'm hearing what you said, Shreya, like grieving, the main thing I hear, what I think about when I think of grieving, is also having that sense of community. And for me, it's important that there's some element of choice, right? Like, especially if you're grieving and you want to feel connected, especially if there's that loss and you need some time to understand that transition of what you've lost. It's somebody that's no longer physically there, but, you know, in spirit maybe, and you need some time to grieve all of that, but you're also creating all these memories. And I guess I'm kind of going about this a long way, but to me, it's like, I hope that whatever the reasons are, and I have to fully understand, you know, for these holidays, why certain family members, depending on who passed away and what side, can't participate. What I fear is that I hope they don't feel further isolated in their grieving. And I know we have a very extensive way of grieving and honoring those that we've lost, but then, you know, there's a whole year that you kind of lose. So I also kind of had those similar thoughts about it. And just for me, it's more something I definitely want to learn more about, but I've definitely had some mixed feelings about, you know, sort of the maybe cultural, religious aspects of what we can and cannot do.
Because I wanted to add on this discussion around Zuto, right? Because that's what it's called when, you know, a member of your family passes away and then you're barred from participating in holidays and just pujas and stuff like that. But that it's limited to your dad's side of the family. Did you know that?
As in the dad side of your family.
So as in like, so when a man and a woman are married, I know, and if a member of the man's family passes away, then, you know, you have to, like the woman and children, they have to respect the Juto part. But let's say if the woman's family member passed away, then it doesn't apply the same way as like her husband's family. I'm not describing it in the best way possible. Tara, even the concept of jutho is discriminatory, okay, in Nepal. Ma. Mm-hmm. And so that is where I think it is so hard to justify jutho. And all that comes with it is because it's so one-sided. But I grew up in Nepal and I don't even have a good grasp on the idea fully. Mm. Just might be a me thing, but also could be our generation that is sort of, you know, we were there. But I don't know, like, I don't understand so many things as well as my parents do and did at my age. Maybe because the push was also towards, you know, Western education and, you know, all of that. So there's also that bit. I really didn't get it. And it just seems more and more alien. Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm wondering, like, how much of it will be passed down, right? Just even from us three speaking, it does end up falling on us if we're going to continue it moving forward. So it's always going to be generations that are making these decisions. I'm just curious, like, it'll still be around, but I'm just wondering how it's going to change. And definitely for me, like you said, I'm trying to see what realistically I can also carry on from the two festivals and, like, staying connected with my brother. I don't think we'll be doing the full pujas. And if my parents are not there, I don't know how much of it we're going to carry on, but I know for sure I want to stay connected with him. I would want to see his face. I would want to wish him well and hope the same thing in return.
Yeah, so, it's I think it's so amazing that you made a conscious choice to visit Nepal or go back home around this time of the holidays, because there's so much control that you can have, right, in terms of what you can take out of it, out of the experience. My experience of celebrating these very, like, major holidays in Nepal has always been very passive, in the sense that, yes, I'm participating, but it's not a conscious decision. Okay? It's just life there. And I haven't been able to consciously participate and learn and take notes after being a full adult, I would say. So in many ways, I want to return to Nepal around the holidays. I ideally I want to spend a year or two in Nepal, because Dasain and Tihar are, you know, they're major holidays, but there's also so many other holidays that I miss, like Indra Jatra and all of that, that I want to reconnect with, just and have a new perspective, in the sense that I want to reconnect and learn. I want to understand more why we're celebrating. And just not get lost in it, in so sort of like a trance mode. In like poila poila, I feel like it's a trance khalko thing. You're just in it, you're enjoying it, but sort of in the moment, versus actively taking part in the way that you're doing.
That is so true about Nepali. At least, you know, most of my friends and, you know, my family members growing up, they don't even know. So now Durga ma, now a form of Durga. Kun kun chai ho puja garcha ani what does each signify bhanera they haven't even told us. like it's nau durga puja garcha bhanera, and hence the name of, you know, nau durga and then the dashami. But there's a lot of, you know, we do this because we've done this, you know, this is how it's done one month, but nobody really explains to you, like, why and what. And maybe some families, and I'm really appreciative of people who try to embed, you know, some sort of understanding beyond our practices. But in my household, you know, not because intentionally not wanted, maybe, you know, they didn't know, or, you know, they... It was not because I working mother and any the time because she had to do so much that there was no time to kind of sit back and, you know, join family ma, or I guess reflect on, you know, join families ma. Maybe there are, like, grandparents and, you know, who have time and hopefully knowledge and affection enough to kind of teach this to their grandchildren, but doesn't happen. And, you know, the unsay one pani chaina tyo kura. So it was interesting. And afaile nai yahan aepachi chai, I guess you have a sense of yourself. Nepal ma hudakhari chai, I feel like holidays were all about sense of us, you know, everything is always about like, oh, our neighbors, our relatives, like we need to do this because this is what needs to be done. It was more of a collective approach to everything. Whereas here we've kind mm-hmm. of, I have found a sense of self. Ani that sense of self's questions and any like why are we doing what we're doing? So you Durga ko lagi ugarne pani. It was my own interest and like okay, I want to celebrate this. And you know, in future, if we have children, okay, we have this luxury of choosing what we want to keep from our practices and traditions, any in the good parts, and then maybe not include the ones that are probably not very fair to female. I was trying to educate myself in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I.
Yeah. That's definitely refreshing. Like. What you just said, I know it's that element of time, and maybe that's definitely something I've noticed as well. Honey, I guess all of us are sort of, we're trying to make that time, we're trying to carve that time out for ourselves. Honey, you know, with that time, we're also coming together and talking about it on the podcast. So I definitely see that connection, you know, having a sense of self, can we even have that option?
I travel between this religion versus spirituality or the traditions or ghosts. I get a little uncomfortable when it starts becoming too religious because I question things a lot. Religion ke hisabli bhanera garna thale bhane chahi, it becomes a little hard for me to swallow, honestly. Doesn't mean that I don't have Ganeshko statue in my house. I do have a little shrine, you know, pani rakhchu. But I feel like my religion is very personal, you know, ani thopna mildaina ta. So ani tyo hisab chai, I'm figuring out what my relationship is with my religion. But when it comes to holidays that are religious, this man chai, I've tried to. I mean, because I do have the luxury, honestly, in Nepal, I probably wouldn't think this way. I'm kind of a little away from the whole expectation, collective expectations from everybody. I can do whatever I please in a way. Obviously, it would be a little bit different, but in that sense, traditions are. See, I'm trying to make it my own panike. Keeping all the goods, like for example, the food aru, it's really nice, you know. So such unique foods. Ani khani kura aru, ani just inviting people, you know, cherishing time with them. Those are all very great. But I don't like to any period ko nuances aru, athwa, you know. Men cook like khasiko masu and women cook everything else. I don't care for those kind of things. You know? So I'm obviously my husband is very, you know, participatory in, you know, how we want to take this moving forward. So we are on the same page. But when we go to other friends or house, it may not be like that. Okay? And, you know, we still have to kind of conform to their reality, kind of. I want to question, but at the same time, I don't want to make them uncomfortable. So there's that. Because we are inviting people over, and so are others inviting us. And obviously, not everybody is a fierce feminist like we are. And holidays or when we get invited over by our friends, you know, who may not share the same journey as we are, you know, embarking on when it comes to religion and spirituality and traditional practices and how we celebrate, you know, festivals or mazeng. So it's an interesting time because unarko pani, it's their own journey and we should be mindful of that, you know. Certain practices are flat out, you know,
patriarchal, I do feel like I want to call it out. But at the same time, what is my intention behind it? And do I just want to call it out and kind of ruin the relationship? Or would I want to be more, you know, more careful about how I navigate that conversation and with whom am I having this conversation? Those kind of things, you know, do come into play. Sometimes I can be a little blunt, you know, and that hasn't served me well. And, you know, although it's coming from a good place, not everybody is in the same mindset of listening and, you know, not only that, and also to good intention, it may not be, you know, very clear to them, or you know, my mommy parents or something about certain practices, it becomes too touchy of a subject because their belief in that religion or that practice is so strong that it's hard for me to even, you know, to kura garni ki nagarni jasto huncha ki certain practices haru. So yeah, I do struggle with that a little bit. And I think, you know, over time I've come to this realization that everyone's journey is their own when it comes to, you know, spirituality, religion, traditions. And you know, you can obviously alikati comfort push to garnu parcha jasto lagcha, like, because otherwise we'll kind of stay where we are, and especially when the things are not, you know, obviously not in favor for a female experience in a way. And I do want to at least start something like conversation wise, but what about this? So I don't push it too much because I don't want to, my intention is not to make them feel comfortable. It's just, you know, like, at least have you thought about this? And it's up to them how they want to take it. So that's how I navigate, you know, my social ties, I guess. I'm still learning. I have to be honest, you know, I haven't mastered it all. I'm learning myself, and I think I'm changing, as we all do, you know. So yeah, that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, and I think it comes, you know, down to that. Even just hearing all three of us talk about it, it came down to, you know, having your community, being a part of your community, the certain choices and ways we decide to celebrate that, and also understand its meaning. And that can change, and it can evolve within Nepal and outside, and how we carry it with us wherever we go. And I hope even for our listeners, they got some insight from this, and this encourages you to reflect and also think about the conscious decisions you're making or not making and would hope to make moving forward. And we're definitely interested in hearing, you know, from you as well. And if you have other ideas on different topics. Till the next time, we wish you a happy holiday and a restful time, joyful time, time to reflect and grieve, and a happy new year. Take care all. Namaste. Bye.